The colorful story of Jesus' appearance to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus answers the question of how Jesus is to be recognized among us. Here, he is revealed through the scriptures and through the breaking of the bread. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, on that same day, when Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still and looked sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" Jesus asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucifixion. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all of Scripture. As they came near the village to which they were going, Jesus walked ahead of them as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, Jesus took bread, blessed it and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and Jesus vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were our hearts not burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." And then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Grace and peace to you from our hope, our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What gives you hope? What gives you hope? Or maybe a more challenging question, what, if anything, causes you to question hope? Hope is one of those words that we use routinely, probably without even realizing it. And as I reflected upon this idea of hope this week, I recognized it in a variety of ways. I hoped for safe travels in my trip to Florida and Shannon's to Dallas. I hoped for a relaxing vacation. I hope to shoot a decent game of golf in front of my friends. I hope to catch a big fish. And I hoped to find my sunglasses after a big wave ripped them off my face. A few hopes of many throughout the past week. And as I think about hope and how I used it in the day-to-day, it's really based upon wishful thinking. And in a way, it conveys a sense of doubt. The season that we call Easter is a season of hope. Hope in resurrection life. And it's fitting that hope is at the center of our text today. In this Emmaus journey, these two begin with dashed hopes. And it ends in new hope in a living Messiah. And I believe the journey from dashed hope to new hope is the real journey in today's story. With the two on their way to Emmaus, Jesus shows up to inquire about their distress, asking questions and creating space for them to share. A space that they might lay out their grievances. Upon listening, Jesus interprets and shares scriptures about himself. And afterwards, they find themselves at the table where Jesus breaks bread with them. It isn't until space for sharing for grievances that It isn't until space for sharing of grievances that Jesus addresses reveals true hope. He didn't come parading in to set them straight right off the bat. No, Jesus first shows up in their hardship. Jesus seeks understanding all before Jesus shares and reveals himself. So another question. Where has Jesus met you on a journey? Where has Jesus met you on a journey? Personally, just recently, I was moved by the journey of Liddell Lee. Yes, one of the 8 death row inmates scheduled an 11-day period for execution in our state. Now, I'm not here to debate the specifics of what he did or opinions of the death penalty. I'll happily discuss that at any time. Rather, I bring forward a witness to Liddell's Emmaus journey. You see, in his final hours, Liddell denied his final meal for Holy Communion. The same meal, the same table, the same host, the same body, Jesus Christ, that we all partake in. As he took his last journey here on earth, Liddell chose to break bread with our Lord and Savior. And because this is one table with you and with me. In his book, Never Forgetting, Discovering Hope and the Aftermath of Tragedy, Henry Nouwen writes, "Hope is willing to leave unanswered questions unanswered, and unknown futures unknown. Hope makes you see God's guiding hand not only in the gentle and pleasant moments, but also in the shadows of disappointment and darkness." Liddell Lee's witness gives me hope. He could have had anything. He chose communion. And he was in good company. I don't doubt for a minute that Jesus accompanied him to the end. Jesus himself, who was executed by capital punishment, by the demands of fellow humans calling for justice, and by a governor who had the ability to stop it. This is the good narrative story that we heard 2 weeks ago. Jesus' story. Jesus was there to walk with him, to nourish him. And despite the death, despite destruction, despite more killing, I have hope. Because hope as Christians isn't about wishful thinking or a sense of doubt. Christian hope conveys confidence. It conveys security in the promise that God made for all humankind. The promise of life in Him, Jesus Christ. It is in this confident expectation that we can trust Jesus will show up in our time of need. It is in this confident expectation that we can trust Jesus will listen to our concerns and offer a word of hope. It is in this confident expectation that we can trust Jesus will give us his body in the breaking of the bread so that we might too revel in his glory. This desired hope came to Liddell. And it comes to us here every week at the Lord's table. As together we break bread. This is the real, tangible gift of our Lord, of hope. We need this hope of Christ because hope produces love, joy, and peace. Because hope sees you through all and any circumstances. Because hope is what calls us out to share this great news. What gives you hope? What gives you hope? What causes you to question hope? In God, there is the ultimate unfailing hope. A hope given freely in and through Jesus Christ. Amen.